Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eagley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres-Haddad, and I'm here with Vera Eagley. How you doing?
Hi. Hello, hello from Portland now.
She's officially from Portland.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, it doesn't matter where you are in the state, right? Because right now what we're seeing is tons of emails, spam, commercials. You're hearing it on even podcasts and anywhere that you're just streaming any type of information is deals for what we call is coming up back Black Friday, or
yeah,
the holiday shopping has already begun.
It's crazy. It's funny you mentioned that because I had to get another, I use a Mac for my personal stuff, but for work stuff, I use a Dell. And because I consult like a software company, they're all really big on PC because of security, et cetera. So I had to get a new one. And it was interesting because the, I don't know what you call them, the IT accounting department was like, hey, there's like pre-Black Friday deals. And I'm like, it's October. Like, this was in October when I got it. I'm like, how are there already secret Black Friday deals? They're like, I don't know, but they're coming out early. So it's crazy. It's like, we're not even close to Black Friday yet. And already people are going nuts and shopping insanely.
And those online deals feel like they creep up early and early. And I thought I saw that Amazon is now doing their Black Friday November 8th, which is insane to hear all these different earlier days. People are like, hey, you know, if you're going to start shopping, shop now. And let's be honest, a lot of these deals are not real deals. They're pretty much sometimes same prices. Maybe you might see some discounts. But the only places that I really see the benefit of using the holiday deals or the Black Fridays are redeeming your gift cards or some of those points on your credit cards, which I like recommend because a lot of those gift cards we use on an everyday basis, whether you're going to actually give them for gifts or use them for your home everyday expenses. I find that they'll usually like, oh, a card that would have cost like 5,000 points is going to be 3,000 points. And so throughout the year, I watch and see if it's worth it or not. But on top of that, we just had, I mean, most people celebrate Halloween, at least in the US, it's like this crazy fun holiday. But that same day is also World Saving Days, which we talk about every year. It's all throughout the country, throughout the world, where there should be more workshops. There should be more awareness of what that day really means. And it's taking the time to figure out where you're going to put your savings and what you're going to be doing for your savings on that particular day. Now that we're at the end of the year, I have a few questions. I'm going to keep it general. you don't have to go full on answer with it, but these are questions that I always ask myself every single year. And first one is, what's your investment goal, right? And obviously we've been talking a lot about your home and, you know, ADU, all this fun stuff with rental properties. But that's the question. What's my investment goal? And it could be for this end of the year or both for the next year. Because it's almost already New Year's. And then what is there a financial situation that you're doubtful of meeting your goal? So, you know, property taxes are coming, certain things that we are like, oh yeah, there's this amount of money that I forgot I'm going to have to shell out. Not just because it's the holidays, but everything before that. And then the third one is any major life changes coming your way. So,
those are good questions. I hope the audience is reflecting on these questions. Pause it, rewind, write them down. Because these are good questions as we enter the end of the year.
And I mean, it seems like you've already jumped the gun already with buying a place, you know, closing.
I already took care of the investment part.
I love it. She's like, check, check, and check, right?
Yeah, that part was definitely, well, we had talked about it early in the year. So I feel like it was also a goal. So like, you're right, check, check.
Yeah. And talking about it, right? Just kind of like what plans come to mind, right? And and for me, I think about like, oh, the financial situation is okay. Just kind of planning ahead. And I just saw an article the other day where now you can actually invest more in your retirement saving. They upped it an extra $500 from the previous year, which they upped a year ago, I believe, right? Wasn't it 2022? That you could actually put another $500 more into your, depending if you're a 401k or Roth IRA, whatever type of investment vehicle you use. But obviously they're trying to increase the savings in hopes more people would actually save, right?
Right.
We're not sure if that's the reality.
There's some interesting stuff out there. And again, this is educational entertainment purposes. We discuss everything that impacts our daily lives, but there are interesting ideas out there as to what savings mean. So you know that I always like to reinvest in either property or my business. And I mean, I obviously invested in property because I sold a house and so lucky, made tons on it. So excited about that. And
yay.
It allowed me to level up. And I feel like, you know, every like 5 years, I want to be like, where do I want to live now? So hopefully the same, like we've already done so much work on this house to like up it. We can easily already ask for more than we purchased it for, which is cool. But I love investing in my business. And that's something that I mentioned earlier in the show in 2024. I really want to focus. Like I've been so busy with the house thing and I don't know, just when you're
moving is buying, a big thing.
So big. When you're buying and selling like that, that's kind of like all I had bandwidth for. And now I just want to go really all in on the business that my husband and I have that includes the record label and just like invest not just money, but also like really our time, our energy, like if not 100%, at least 75%. Cause you know, you can always have multi projects. Like I believe in having multiple projects. It lights me up. I like to function like that. And so that's question number one, I suppose. The goal one, I was really trying to, I budget because you should budget, but I always have a little wiggle room, but I really wanted to just like meet a certain, like not go over a budget for all the house stuff I had to buy, but I'm almost there.
That's the reality. It happens where you're just like, but this will look great with the new, you know, appliance or the new couch that needs to match with everything else. Right.
I mean, it is what it is, you know, and you're two people. Sometimes one of you is like, hey, we're trying to stick to that. And the other one's like, yeah, but it's so cool. So yeah, you need wiggle room.
And you know, it's the end of the year, so I'm seeing a lot more sales. Either businesses are going out of business or they're downsizing. You know, there's so many different apps now offer up cash. I mean, you know, Quash, whatever you're purchasing
buy
stuff
nothing.
From.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can definitely buy things at a fraction of the cost. The end of the year, people are, I mean, right now you see more and more people not only trying to downsize, but trying to make extra income. So hopefully for you, it comes in handy to be like, I'm going to buy the things I do need and just kind of restructure what the end of the year looks like.
Yeah.
That's a great goal for sure. I love that you checked off. And I always like me personally, I'm like, oh, we're still working on a lot of that because I'm like, okay, I have a couple more months.
I know.
To either complete that goal or hit that goal. And I think about that. It says there's one financial situation you're doubtful of meeting your goal. And you know, you and I have been talking about this for the past, oh my God, it feels like in forever, but at least the last couple of years of my husband and I trying to grow our family and the thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't even like to think about that we spent in the fertility costs. And so, you know, making up our cushion and everything that we've had saved and that's gone, replenishing it, but also, still working towards that goal. So, right. Kind of where can we redistribute those funds, those kind of things that come in place, but I'm feeling confident. I'm still kind of, there's the doubtfulness and I'm like, I have to be real with myself and give myself the patience or you know, understand that, hey, you know what? Everything comes at the place that needs to. So I don't need to be stressing out like, it's not going to happen by, you know, 2023 of December, you know, it's, you know, like not that far away from that.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you also have to think like they're self-imposed deadlines and you should impose them, but you shouldn't beat yourself up, regret, feel guilty, or feel like a failure if you didn't meet it.
Yes.
Because I think that it's counterintuitive. You know, you have it there as something to look towards, but it shouldn't like dictate how you feel about yourself or your situation.
And I think if we, and if we practice like celebrating the small wins too, it helps us stay on track because I look at the big picture and just particularly for the ADU, I'm like, 200,000, 400,000, like, you know, the budget gets bigger and bigger, right? Because you see the things that you want included. And the way I look at it, I'm like, if I could break it down into smaller pieces, it seems more attainable. And then celebrating those small wins that can help you. Like for me, the other day I was like, oh, cool, we paid this off that I don't have to worry about anymore. As small as it might have been, it just changed my mindset, right? And you're like, cool, done, and moving on to the next, right? That's a good question for you. Any smart money moves that you made for 2023? Obviously, not just the house, but anything else?
With credit cards, so when I was younger, I had like, it feels like it was like 6 credit cards. Maybe it was 4, but it was a lot. And when you're 18, man, they just send all this stuff, even on university campuses. I hate that banks go to college campuses and sign people up. Like, it's so disgusting.
They can't do that anymore. Actually, it's against the law.
I was wondering.
Yeah, if you do, report them, because that's against the law now.
I haven't been in college in a really long time. So, but I accumulated, you know, a ton of credit cards. And mind you, in retrospect, I realized I didn't actually have that much credit card debt, because I could hear my mom in the back, like, always saying, be careful, be careful. But like, it was a lot for the 19-year-old, you know, that I was. But now it's like in my 40s, I was like, oh my God, that's like nothing. Like, you could pay it off in a month. You know what I mean? Like, no big deal. But it's all hindsight. Like, it's 2020, right? So for me, I continue doing this. My smart stuff, you just mentioned it. I'll use my credit card for a major purchase. I gobble up the points, because we travel to Europe often to visit my husband's family, and I use the points for that. But I like do not hesitate. I used to be like, I should only pay little chunks, but I'm like, wait, I'm a grown up. I have the money to do it. I don't need to think in those like budgeted ways anymore, because I can pay that off. And I think, it's this like limited scarcity mindset that once you're past the survival mode and you're in thrive mode, you need to let go of that old thinking and say like, I can drop that $5,000 and just pay that card off right now. And you get your points. And you don't have to charge, you know, the bank's not charging you interest. But I think I want to emphasize that. Like, I keep doing that. And sometimes, you know, I want to be like, I'll pay it next month. I'm like, no, we're going to pay it this month. So it's an ongoing thing to remind yourself, because for so long you operated on like making little payments, that you have to tweak that. It's like you said, it's a mindset shift. You have to tweak it.
And you hit the nail right there. It's our capacity changes as you get older. You know, and you're right. I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I remember freaking out about $20,000. And now I'm like, okay, like, and it's not that it's still a lot of money. Gosh. Yeah.
Sure.
But the fact that you just said, oh, my capacity to pay back quicker is so different. And
yeah.
And oftentimes I have this conversation with parents where parents are like, oh, I don't want my kid to deal with managing any money. You know, hopefully in college we can help them. And if not, that's when they can start doing that on their own. And I'm like, no. Have them make those mistakes. I'd rather have our kids make a mistake with $1,000 while they're in high school, as opposed to $10,000, $100,000 when they're in college and rack up and not understand how to manage that money. And you just said it, using the points. Here's a tip, guys. If you paid your property taxes or you haven't yet, I'm not your tax attorney and CPA, so this is all at entertainment. But this is one of the best tricks that I got from one of my mentors too, where we pay all of our property taxes with our credit cards and for two reasons. One, yes, we get the points. And if I could pay my mortgage with my credit card, I would. But along with that, it gives you an opportunity to save that money that you would be paying into your mortgage. So a lot of people pay their property tax into their mortgage. So let's say your rent is, or your mortgage is $2,000 and your property taxes are $500 extra every month. And that's already included in your mortgage. But if you take that out and you're paying that with your property taxes, well, you can really use that money throughout the year that you're not putting in the $500 that's sitting in an escrow account for that mortgage. And then you can get the points. And for me, I get an extra whole month to pay my property taxes. So, you know, if they're due on November 1st and usually April 1st, I believe March 1st, you have up until December 16th, I want to say that it's late. And then by April, April 10th. So you have a little over a month to pay in advance. And so for me, I'm like, cool, that gives me a whole extra month. I'm still going to get the points. I'm still going to pay it on time. And it's going to be all handy dandy, but it's knowing that my husband and I are like, oh, that's an extra $500 a month that we dollars can we use somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
I'm giving a hypothetical, right? Because property taxes are different throughout every state. So kind of keep that in mind that you can have those little hacks right along the way.
Yeah. And you mentioned one really important question, the major life decision or the major life change.
Any major life changes coming?
I mean, I moved to a different state. So that I feel, I love where I am right now. I'm still gathering my bearings and I don't know what's to come. I think everything will be great because it feels like it will. And I always have that mindset, but it's different. It's different up here. It's less diverse. It's way more, I don't know, left than California is. And people are much more mindful about how they speak to you. It's a whole different thing. So that is a change and it's nice to adjust. I really want to hear from you because I know you have some major things, but I also just wanted to quickly like not ignore the fact that there's like tons of conflict going on in the world right now. And I could be taught, like, it's great that we are in the privileged position of being able to ask ourselves these questions, reflect on it, and have such an optimistic view while there's like total devastation going on. We know what's going on in Gaza. We know what's going on in Latin America, in Ukraine still, in Africa constantly, in the United States. There's like cities that are basically, I hate to use the term third world country, but they're so poor.
Limited
and
resources. Yeah.
Yeah. That in our own backyards, we see the homelessness situation. We see the drug epidemic. Like there's a lot going on. And it's not just because it's the holidays that you should think about this. You should really be thinking about it every day. But like, don't fret that you feel like you can't do anything. If you can't, don't have money to donate, don't donate. Just be kind to your neighbor. Help somebody out. Smile. Like, I truly believe in spreading that kind of kindness. It really does spread out all over. And I say this a lot in many episodes. We just have to really think about like, what can we do in our circle that could potentially impact other places? And if you do have money to spare, where can you donate it that might help certain situations? You know, and I bring that up because right now that's in the news a lot and that's what we're hearing. But at the end of the day, I truly believe that we just have to have compassion for each other. I know it sounds dumb and maybe compassion's not going to, you know, bring peace, but it's, you have to start somewhere.
No, not at all. It's not dumb. It's, I think it's, I always ask myself, compassion over cash or compassion or cash or cash over compassion? You know, like what can you give, right? If you can't give, like you said, money, give your time, just sharing, you know, what works out. And I think it's crucial, especially around the holidays, because we were just talking about savings. We're talking about these deals that people are getting bombarded, but it's kind of saying like, well, why not put that money towards someone that really needs it, right? And it hit home for us as well, because as those have mentioned, you know, my last name is Haddad. My husband is Arabic and family Jordanian. And so for us, it's, you know, it really hits home when you hear what's happening on in Gaza. And and it's hard to speak about it because it makes it very difficult to, you know, for people that aren't really involved with it, especially sometimes Latino culture are not up to date on really what's happening. And especially if you have family members that are literally being affected by that too. So I think it's those things that I think will shape how we see the coming year, how we see the next few years, really decades, because when any type of attack, any type of war, it's not necessarily something that's ever changed. I always talk about like, I'm like, I've been out of El Salvador for almost 40 years now, and yet there's still repercussions from the civil war back then. So I think people need to really kind of hone in on what they want to do for this Christmas spirit, like, or whatever holiday you're celebrating. But how can we, you just said it, be kinder to other. And kind of going back to that question with any major life changes coming, I think it's those changes we can't really plan for, or we're trying to plan for, and they're unexpected. A little brief one, I think we should do an episode on this, on elderly care. My husband and I were dealing that with a lot. Like, I'm so lucky that I have an amazing mother-in-law. But you know, the early signs of, not even the early signs of dementia, is really difficult to deal with, as it's progressing quicker than we want it to. And now trying to find elder care even more intense, since she will hopefully be home soon. She's been in hospital rehab center basically for the past year for her own injuries and things that she's been going through. But those are financial strains that a lot of times we don't talk about. We don't see at a specific age. My husband is the youngest from a sibling. So unfortunately, he's seen this happening at much younger, when most people aren't experiencing this until they're maybe 50s or 60s. And so for us, it's asking those consistent questions like, well, do you have enough money for this? How are we going to pay for any out of pocket? And luckily, insurance is covered and a lot of things are already in place. And he's got great siblings that take care of so much. But it is something that we're like, these are life changes that are happening on, seriously, on a daily basis, it feels. And just trying to plan ahead and really ask, we've been asking ourselves a question like, how do you want to handle it? Even with my parents, I'm like, how do you guys want to handle it when, if this were to happen, which is going to happen eventually for everyone. And it just kind of brings up what is in place, what is planned. And it starts to really, you start thinking about your mortality. You start thinking about like, what do I want to leave behind? Not just materialistically, but really taken care of. If you can leave your family with no debt, that is the greatest gift ever. And I always tell my mom that, don't worry about, you know, trying to leave us something behind. I go, as long as you're taken care of and we'll take care of you the best that we can. You know, and my dad the same at the very end. But if you leave us with no debt, that's a win-win for everybody. And you hear that often when people are like, oh, I'm stuck with this inheritance tax and all these other things that just did not work out for my family. So not to leave on a, not a, it's not a down, it's just real life the way it is.
It's real life. You said it. It's real life. I think there's too many shows out there that, you know, they kind of sugarcoat it, but it's real life. And all of this impacts you fiscally. And this is why we talk about it. Because whether it's elderly care, whether it's moving, whether war conflict is really expensive. It takes a toll on bank accounts, on insurance companies, and on your heart. So it's costing somewhere. So it's real life. You have to talk about it.
Yeah. So if you're listening or watching, we'd love to hear what you're doing, not just for this holiday season, but what you're doing to, you know, save. What are you doing to invest in your community, your family, or just really plan for those unplannable things, really. Mm-hmm. And but life changes and your celebration. Maybe you have some big wins. You maybe paid off a car or a credit card, and now it's, you know, you're investing in something. So stay tuned, because I know we're going to have a lot more of these deep conversations as life happens.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll see you in the next one. Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eagley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional.